Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news. We scour the globe every week, find the best, most legitimate pro wrestling news, and put it right here, Larson.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say right where.
Right where?
And I say, suck it.
No, you say down here.
Oh, that's right. Anyways, we're also available on every fine podcast app available, including the one you can find on the iOS device, the iTunes. You hit that subscribe download button, even if you're watching us on the TV right now. If you're watching us,
wait, hold on.
What?
We're on television?
We can be. You have no idea how many people have tweeted us pictures of watching
us.
Oh,
yeah, I've seen those, but I didn't know if we somehow scored a network broadcasting deal, and I wasn't aware of it.
You're not. You don't know everything, pal. Sometimes I keep shit from you. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
That'd be great one day. You, like, roll up, and there's, like, gold-plated microphones. You're like, where'd you get the money for this? I'm like, none of your business.
It's like, money? This is fake gold. I did this myself. This is spray paint.
Exactly. Anyways, what was I saying? Yeah, if you hit that subscribe download button, if you're watching us on your laptop, mobile device, TV player.
Streaming device.
Well, you can't watch a streaming device.
No, he said watching us on your. You're watching because the streaming device is putting our images on one's television.
Through streaming. You can't watch on a streaming device. Unless it's a smart TV. That's technically a streaming device.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
All right, we're on the Patreon. The
streaming device is what's broadcasting us, so in that sense, yes.
Oh, already off the rails, man. Patreon.com/Stephen Larson. Weren't you just... You're just talking in the car saying, you know, sometimes we get a little chippy with each other on air. I hope people don't think that we actually hate each other. Patreon.com/Stephen Larson. You can fuel our hate with money. And in exchange, receive postcards and comic books and our love.
Yes.
Our literal, a literal representation of our love. Physical representation of our love, Larson. It's a postcard. No, I'm not talking about ejaculate. And we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Stephen Larson, where Larson is currently modeling this lovely Going In Raw shirt, which you can get. This is only one of how many designs we have right now?
Five currently. More to come.
Five. This is an Andre the Giant shirt that I got off Pro Wrestling Tees.
Not in our store.
Illegal licensing.
Yes. Let's talk about some news, please.
So, yesterday, Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Wednesday.
Yeah, yesterday for us. ProWrestlingSheet.com got the scoop, an exclusive
story
about Ring of Honor potentially being in talks to be bought by the WWE from Sinclair Broadcast Group.
Correct. Quote from the Pro Wrestling Sheet story. Multiple sources with direct knowledge tell us the companies have been talking since January. And things have been slowly progressing with the plan being a full takeover if the deal is made official. This would include the weekly TV show beginning to air on the WWE Network. No word at this point on whether every wrestler on the roster would continue working in Ring of Honor if it happens.
Interesting. There's also a pretty big write-up about this in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week. And that says, we're told WWE first inquired about purchasing Ring of Honor dating back to August and wanted to do so from more than just the tape library. There have also been at least minor inquiries and feelers about purchasing other independent companies, both in the US and the UK, for tape libraries, and perhaps to limit outside options for talent. If WWE was to purchase the company, the question becomes, would they operate it and honor the contracts or close it down like was the plan with TNA when there were negotiations to purchase that company a few months ago, largely for the videotape rights and intellectual property going forward?
So this is all very interesting and brings up a lot of a wealth of issues for us to discuss.
Now, as right when we started, right before we started filming this, the Young Bucks tweeted out, Ring of Honor isn't going anywhere unless we decide to buy it with our merch money. So apparently this has been...
They're throwing their names in to
Young
purchase.
Young Bucks to buy Ring of Honor. Confirmed.
I know.
Or would it be the Super Click or the Elite or what do they call it? The Dream Team when they're all together?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Dream Team Wrestling.
New purchasers, perhaps. So this opens up a wealth of questions. Just the idea that the WWE this is on their radar. This is something they are potentially pursuing opens up a wealth of questions and possibilities.
I don't know
where to start.
I don't know if there's been an instance where WWE has bought a promotion for the purpose of strictly to put it under their own corporate umbrella. They right. bought WCW. Yeah, they brought in some WCW talents, but they didn't keep Nitro going.
Right.
They exactly, had yeah. WCW brand, but it was integrated within WWE product. It wasn't right. a separate thing.
Right. Although not for we do understand. I mean, it's long been rumored, I think. I'm not sure if it's ever been confirmed that the original plan was to keep WCW as its own separate brand. It's just the way that things worked out. It didn't work out.
Yeah, based on the contracts.
The contracts and mishandling of the invasion yeah. go quite a bit. And not understanding. And, well, I'm not going to say not understanding, but, you know, the crowds, the WWE crowds had been so sort of, I'm going to say brainwashed, but so used to cheering for WWE guys and hating WCW yeah. guys. But anyways, you're right. There hasn't been an instance of this necessarily of them running another promotion. But it does kind of, we'll just start here, it kind of points to a possible strategy for the WWE going forward with their network programming, and that is either buying or licensing other promotions
yeah.
to run on the WWE network.
To kind of become the more or less official archive of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm, right, right.
Which, as wrestling fans, is great because we can just go to one place and watch pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. The downside of that, of course, is that with every promotion WWE buys up, that's one less place that talents can go to work.
Right, exactly. So, for example, Daniel Bryan, he's very excited, seemingly.
In 18 months, when his contract runs out, Ring of Honor could be an option for him, but if WWE buys it, nope.
Not going to happen.
Nope.
But that does lead to the question, how much... Okay, so WWE buys Ring of Honor, then they can do whatever they want with them. We don't know how hands-on or hands-off it's going to be. We have no idea. And that makes me wonder if any of this has to do with a strategy that maybe they have switched from. And I'm getting this because part of the Wrestling Observer newsletter also listed the 10 most watched programs on the WWE network. And you take a look. So NXT is number 2, right along with Anderson Gallows and then AJ Styles and Finn Balor
cutouts
are in the back seat. But number 9 is 205 Live, which was post-NXT was their first big branch into network-exclusive wrestling content that yes. isn't like a pay-per-view or something.
Yes.
And that's at number 9. That's not doing well at all. Now, we know the costs for that are low because...
they piggyback the shooting of that onto SmackDown.
But what have we heard with the... So we had the UK tournament, which seems to be a springboard for ICW and... wasn't there
Progress.
And Progress airing their programming...
potentially.
Potentially on the network. That's what
either
we've
that
heard
either that or one strategy. Or WWE starting their own UK based sub promotion,
right?
Or having the ICW Progress deal be a bridge between.
Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering things, if you know? This if the idea of purchasing Ring of Honor would indicate that they're leaning more likely towards licensing ICW Progress and then potentially bringing in Ring of Honor as separate entities under the network umbrella. Like if that's their programming strategy, as opposed to creating their own UK show.
Yeah.
No, we already have these guys who know what they're doing. We have a production. We're just going to distribute it through the network. And with Ring of Honor, they have a setup. They have a thing where they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's just bring them in.
Well, the difference between the ICW and Progress example you gave and Ring of Honor is
yeah, WWE wouldn't be owning ICW.
Well, it would be that, but also ICW and Progress, I assume, would be responsible for raising the capital necessary to put on mm-hmm. those shows.
Right, right.
Whereas if WWE bought Ring of Honor, they would have to do everything. Granted, mm-hmm. they might keep their production staff, mm-hmm. their writing staff, all that. Still, they would have to fund all of it, whereas ICW and Progress, I'm sure WWE just pays them a certain amount of money to license the footage so they can air on the network.
Because you would think...
There's a lot more upfront costs for operating yeah. Ring of Honor as a separate thing.
You would also think that if WWE... it all depends. If WWE purchased Ring of Honor, would they continue to run pay-per-views like the way they are now? If they look at Ring of Honor and they see, okay... well, this is a business model that's working for Ring of Honor, for Sinclair.
Yeah.
To run Ring of Honor. They're putting so much money, they're putting X number of dollars in. They're running that business the way they're running it. Would they see the network as a way, as simply a distribution platform to make more money off the pay-per-views that they would still run off of like the Fight app?
I would, knowing WWE generally, They like to keep things all under one umbrella. So I have a feeling if they're going to start broadcasting the weekly TV show on the network, everything will be on the network.
But if they're looking to purchase Ring of Honor, I would think that they would see it as a money making entity, and I agree with you in that's what they want to do, or that would be typically their MO. But if you're looking like, I want to purchase this business and then I want to take away the profit making ability of it in favor of what WWE sees as their own profit making ability.
I'm sure what they would do is say, okay, we have this vast tape library of 15 years of wrestling. We can put the network, mm-hmm. promote the network that way, mm-hmm. Drive network subscriptions. It won't be a huge amount because, you know, Ring of Honor is popular. It's been around for a long time, but it's not on the same level as WWE.
Sure,
So there's Ring of Honor fans. I'm curious to know more about Ring of Honor's mm-hmm. history, and I want to see it.
Yeah.
So I will watch that stuff, but more casual wrestling fans may not. Anyways, I would suspect that would be the way, in one sense of the business model, driving the profit margin, because mm-hmm. they buy that tape library. There's no more costs associated with that.
True.
That's just all profit once they get it up on the network. So there's some overhead. And if it drives.
Yeah, but when you say profit, you mean additional subs, because I mean, I guess they run ads, but I mean, that's minimal, I would think, to subs.
Yeah, it'll be additional subs. So if they get 20,000 more subs based on Ring of Honor programming, that's an extra $200,000 a month.
Yeah.
20,000 might be high.
How often does Ring of Honor run pay-per-views?
It seems to kind of be scattershot, because within the last few weeks, they've had, or they will have, or have had, Manhattan Mayhem, mm-hmm. the anniversary show, and then mm-hmm. Supercard of Honor.
Yeah.
That's all within about a month and a half.
And plus, they also did the New Japan Honor Rising.
Yeah.
So, but this the bottom line is, this does seem to be, I would think this would be an indication that they would be leaning towards, if what they're saying here is correct and they want to continue the weekly TV show and not just shutter it and just buy it for the tape library, that they would be interested in having other promotions under the network branch, as opposed to creating their own thing, which makes me think that the UK show would simply be ICW
or Progress,
and
or
they
both
wouldn't have their own thing.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, you know, seeing that how crappy 205 Live is, their own dalliances in creating their own network exclusive wrestling programming. I mean, NXT is number two, but NXT has been around for a while. And
Ring of Honor has been around for a while too, but I still don't know, say on the top 10 chart right now, gut feeling, where would Ring of Honor be on there in the top 10? 7?
Shit, I don't know, man.
Seven or eight. I don't know what their numbers are weekly, Ring of Honor, are on Fight TV, or what their streaming numbers are online.
Well, I'll tell you this. Almost guarantee anybody who watches Ring of Honor will have a network subscription already.
There's a good chance of that.
And we talked about this before. What was the story we talked about before when we were saying, well, how many more?
Was it the TNA library where they're trying to buy that?
Yeah, the TNA library. It was how? Okay, so Ring of Honor fans, if you're not local, Ring of Honor fans are diehard wrestling fans. And every diehard wrestling fan, I would imagine, has a WWE network.
Unless
account.
They're just anti-WWE.
Which is a possibility. I would think that the former would probably be closer to I don't know how many more subscribers you're going to get with Ring of Honor.
But here's another possibility. A vast majority of WWE's top stars now have experience in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So not only can you drive people to watch their content, matches in full or whatever, on the network, there's DVDs you can make and sell.
Sure.
Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Documentaries featuring that content that you weren't able to show before.
Mm-hmm.
That's another money-making avenue.
That's true. So
let's talk a bit about Ring of Honor's relationship with New Japan.
Yeah, because
that's a huge part.
More pieces of the puzzle.
I was curious. New Japan has been very transparent about their aims for this year and next in terms of expanding to North America.
Mm-hmm.
And Meltzer mentions here about limiting outside options for talent.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me was wondering if this was a play by WWE to take essentially some of New Japan's talent from them without directly taking, say, Naito or Okada, because there's a lot of wrestlers who wrestle for both promotions. The Young Bucks.
Briscoes.
Dalton Castle. I mean, like the Young Bucks wrestle kind of 50-50.
Roppongi
Vice.
Yeah.
They wrestle quite a bit.
Adam Cole, War Machine have both stated that they plan on being in New Japan more.
Yeah.
For whatever that might mean.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And
I don't know how Ring of Honor, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ring of Honor contracts are structured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Adam Cole to date has been largely a Ring of Honor wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he wrestles occasionally for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla for New Japan. So mm-hmm. I don't know if obviously they're not exclusive contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the structure of those contracts, if WWE were to buy the company,
mm-hmm.
how would they, I don't know how they would absorb those contracts, but then they wouldn't, you know, based on how WWE typically does business, they wouldn't necessarily be able to honor those contracts. They don't want their talents working for other companies.
Okay, well, and here's another piece of the puzzle, and this is like strictly just me being there and observing that, and I know you did too, but where has New Japan said they want to base their territory out here?
California.
California. What other
popular,
massively popular indie promotion?
Yeah, Wrestling Guerrilla.
And we saw somebody who looked like he very well could be a New Japan executive at the last PWG show. Have no idea if it was. But it wouldn't surprise me, like you said, so many guys who are in New Japan, so many guys who are in Ring of Honor do a lot of crossover. A lot of those guys end up at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
I'm trying to think, too, how many people on that PWG card wrestle for Ring of Honor. You have Marty Scurll, you have Cole, Young Bucks.
Leo Rush. Yeah.
There's maybe half the card that had some affiliation.
War Machine is making their debut in April.
Yeah. There's maybe roughly half the card that wrestles regularly for Ring of Honor.
Because Ring of Honor is largely on the East Coast and they come out to Vegas randomly.
Yeah.
PWG is out here in California.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if New Japan was potentially talking to PWG about some sort of
partnership,
whatever, something similar to what they have in Ring of Honor. But since they're coming out here to California, it would be probably easier to also strike some sort of arrangement with PWG.
Yeah.
Then you throw the WWE into the ranks, and then you're taking away so much of that talent that was showing up at PWG. Well, if PWG via Ring of Honor was an important piece to New Japan coming out to the States in their global expansion,
mm-hmm.
is WWE trying to buy a Ring of Honor just throwing a massive wrench into that plan?
Could be.
I have no idea. But it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, and then you're thinking of all the talent that wouldn't be able to work in New Japan anymore.
I know.
And like, for, you know, I don't know the nature of the Young Bucks or Roppongi Vice's contracts, because they both kind of split time seemingly fairly evenly between the two promotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, for example, if the Young Bucks contract with Ring of Honor and they have a deal with New Japan, or vice versa. Same with Roppongi Vice. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what those contracts are. I have no idea. I know, I mean, there's a working relationship, but so the Young Bucks recently re-signed. According to Kenny Omega, it was 1 year. I thought they said 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I read, too.
Okay,
2 years.
Yeah.
But I thought it was with Ring of Honor they re-signed.
Yeah, I think it was, too. It was Ring of Honor. But in that Ring of Honor contract, are you also signing for a certain number of dates in New Japan?
I don't know.
Like, are the dates that they're signing up for Ring of Honor transferable to New Japan, and the New Japan transfers them over? I would think that's the arrangement, because Ring of Honor and Sinclair and New Japan are separate entities.
Yes.
I would think that the contracts they draw up are more like that kind of working relationship, as opposed to, no, you're contracted to both Ring of Honor and New Japan.
Yeah.
So, but no, you're right. It's like at that point, I mean, dude, all the big indie talent. We say indie for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Because so many of those guys are on the indie circuit.
Yeah, where Ring of Honor is owned by a media conglomerate.
Yeah.
Not an independent.
A bigger media conglomerate, by the way, than TNA is owned, than
yes.
Anthem.
Yeah.
So,
So Ring of Honor itself is not an independent promotion.
Correct.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I want to say WWE buying Ring of Honor is going to take up all the indie talent. It's going to take a lot.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of wrestlers who wrestle on the independent circuit who don't really wrestle for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Ricochet. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Will Ospreay has wrestled for Ring of Honor, but I think he's only showed up a handful of times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people we didn't mention that wrestled for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of talent on the indie scene here in the States that can keep that, you know, that part of the industry going.
Yeah.
There's just one less place they can go to for if they want to step up to the next level and gain some probably more serious measure of financial security.
It's going to take some reloading on the indie circuit, though, because I get your point. Like, guys like Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb, they're out there. Ricochet,
mm-hmm.
they're out there, but man,
I mean, it's a huge
every
hit.
Indie
it's a huge
show
hit.
Is like the super, some variation of the super clip.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge hit to the indie scene, but it's not going to it's not gonna be the death nail.
No, I know there's always gonna be, especially like, you know, the bottom line is, if there's a market for indie wrestling, that market will be filled. And we saw even in our little local SPW show, there's a market for it.
Well, I mean, there's a pretty good sized promotion in the Bay Area called All Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
I think they routinely sell out their shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they get major names coming in. They get Cody Rhodes and Pentagon Jr. and stuff like that.
That's going to be, I mean, that's going to be kind of the interesting thing is, I mean, I know there's not a lot of examples, but Cody Rhodes is the best example of guys who are already signed. I don't know how Cody Rhodes,
he considers
New Japan, that's right.
But he does not have a contract with TNA or Ring of Honor, appearance.
That's right.
Last I was aware.
Yeah. But, I mean, in his case, I wonder how much of his revenue, I mean, sure, he gets paid pretty well by New Japan, but I wonder how much of his revenue comes from, and he's a singular case. Like there's one Cody Rhodes in the world. But I wonder how much of his revenue comes from those one-off appearances by PWG, by Ring of Honor. I have no idea, but it would be a bummer for him to see that taken away at that point. I mean, the Ring of Honor stuff anyways.
Well, he's only appeared in Ring of Honor a handful of times.
Yeah.
He's not a regular. Yeah. I think he's on, I could be completely wrong. I think he's on TNA more than he's on Ring of Honor programming, at least. Because he's in
like an actual feud in TNA.
With Moose,
Well, it'll be really interesting. What's going to be interesting is a year from now to see what's on the WWE Network. And the bigger question is how much of a hand the WWE is going to want to have in these promotions.
Yeah, and it also kind of depends, at least in the Ring of Honor example, if they are to buy them outright, if and how they will incorporate Ring of Honor into the larger WWE universe. Will they keep it as a standalone thing that it just kind of exists on the network for additional programming? Or, you know, if we want to take a little bit to dream book some of this.
Yeah.
Can they make it like, say, NXT is comparable to Raw? They bring Ring of Honor in to be comparable to SmackDown and have it as a secondary kind of developmental area.
Yeah.
You know, keep NXT based in Florida, maybe have Ring of Honor based up in the Northeast somewhere since that's, you know, it's home.
Yeah.
You know, do monthly tapings in someplace in Philadelphia or New Jersey or New York.
Yeah.
So you keep it in its kind of home area. You know, you can tour with it still, have whatever name they want to do it that's not TakeOver, still do those kind of shows, and then have some competition between the two.
Yeah.
Have a Ring of Honor invasion.
Yeah.
Have Adam Cole and the Young Bucks show up on NXT and say, you know, WWE's been poaching our talent. They finally poached our company from us. We're not going to stand for this anymore.
Yeah.
And start super kicking everybody. That could be fun. Selfishly, as a wrestling fan, that could be fun to see. Downside is, there's a lot of the talent, so just have one less place to work.
Yeah, I know. And another potential downside is, and we've talked about this before, you see some of the moves they're doing in Ring of Honor, like literally the in-wrestling product, they do some things that the WWE don't want you to do.
Yeah.
They do all sorts of pile driver variations. They do shit that the WWE doesn't want you to do. Would WWE at that point say, look, you're under our banner and we don't need more lawsuits.
Yeah.
So we're going to not, you guys can't do pile. Then you're
watering down the product, you could say. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I would love, everybody wants to see, you know, Young Bucks versus, you know, Revival or DIY or whatever. I mean, they get into Twitter beefs seemingly daily.
Yeah.
You know, the Revival and Young Bucks, that is. And now with the Hardys, talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
The Hardys seemingly definitely going to WWE.
Yes.
They could continue on. It's a bummer because in Wrestling Observer 2, they were talking about, Meltzer was talking about just how extensively the Young Bucks and the Hardys were supposed to feud in through TNA and Ring of Honor, and there's going to be all sorts of back and forth happening.
Oh, yeah.
And then when TNA starts sending out the legal notices to Sinclair, whoever, Ring of Honor, or no, the actual pay-per-view companies.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor's like, no, we're not working with you guys.
Yeah.
But that Young Bucks Hardys thing could still come to pass.
Yes. Well, I mean, they have a match at Supercard of Honor.
I would assume they're going to get their Superkick belts back because the Hardys took those.
At the least, they'll get those back.
You would think.
Maybe they'll get the Ring of Honor.
They'll
titles.
Probably get the Ring of Honor.
Because Pro Wrestling Sheet had another huge exclusive story this week that the WWE has officially offered the Hardys new contracts,
which would seem to indicate that they pass their physicals.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know if they do. I guess you have to do the physicals first, then get the
contract.
According
to Meltzer, that's what it means.
Okay. PWInsider.com has confirmed Pro Wrestling Sheet's report, adding that, quote, one of the major issues which will need to be worked out is the schedule. WWE typically wants its talent to work full-time schedules, and the Hardys are not interested in that. understandably. They're up there in years. They've taken a lot of wear and tear in their bodies.
They should definitely make allowances for that. These guys are not coming out of NXT.
No.
This is the fucking Hardy Boys. Yes. They were wrestling in 1998 when they were huge then. You know, they were wrestling years before that.
Yes. So, of course, which, you know, gets to one thing about what gimmick are they going to be
using?
That's
the biggest thing.
Because I think we both don't want them to just be the Hardy Boys nostalgia act.
That'd be horrible. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, not good.
Today's fan, they know what's going on. They're delete chance at WWE events.
I could be completely wrong. What I'm thinking is maybe the Hardys just signed a short-term deal with Ring of Honor while this legal stuff gets worked out. It's good for Ring of Honor. They benefit. They get exposure of the Hardys being on their show on a regular basis. Once all this legal stuff gets worked out, maybe that's when they'll go to WWE. And so then they can at least have an idea how much of this broken stuff they can start doing.
You don't think that the WWE would have figured that out in advance of offering them the contract? I mean, I think they're going to want them regardless.
Yeah.
But I would think that the WWE...
It could just be a matter of not necessarily of all the legal stuff working itself out, but working itself out enough so the WWE feels comfortable saying, okay, you can do 65% of the broken gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can't do Vanguard 1, but you can call yourself Broken Matt Hardy, something like that.
Well, Pro Wrestling Insider also notes that the contracts currently are only for Matt and Jeff, not Rebby or Senior Benjamin. But I would imagine it would just take a day of legal getting that figured out if they wanted to go in that direction. But I would think that that would indicate that at this point, they don't quite know. Maybe they are just waiting. WWE and the Hardys are saying, hey, look, we want to bring you in regardless, but we're going to hold off on offering everybody in your family contracts.
Yeah, until everything gets worked out or at least worked out enough.
I am like, as a fan, I am really hoping they do go with the broken direction. Yes. I really hope they get that
Maybe
figured
WWE
out.
Maybe WWE can go to Impact, TNA, say, okay, here's a check for $1 million. I'm just throwing a number out there. It's probably way too high. Relinquish your rights to the Hardys, to the Broken Matt Hardy universe.
Yeah.
Just do that. Yeah. Write them a check.
Yeah.
Say, okay, happy? Okay. $500,000, you can make DVDs.
I wonder if they called TNA's bluff. I wonder if TNA could get a court to issue an injunction keeping the broken universe out of the WWE. Well,
they could try.
I'm sure they could try.
They could try.
Yeah.
They can claim as their intellectual property.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I would think that there would be no downside to the WWE pulling the trigger on it.
I mean, as we saw with Gallows and Anderson, they were really pushing the limits. What was the club and what was Bullet Club?
Jimmy Uso literally said Bullet Club on Talking Smack.
But I mean, like, down to their video package where they had, like, shell casings.
Shell casings, yeah.
In the video.
Yeah.
And using similar fonts and stuff like that. I mean, they were really pushing.
Even that latest shirt, like, they're not shying. It's funny because they're not shying away from it. Their latest shirt is literally just the Bullet Club shirt.
More or less.
Just not as good. It's like a Redbubble version of Bullet Club. So anyways, it'd be interesting to see how that all plays out. We're still waiting. I think, hey man, we're
10 days away from Mania.
10 days away from Mania, which means we're 11 days away from Raw, 12 days away from SmackDown. I'm telling you, man, I would think that's going to happen. Although I guess they did say they're still booked for shows up through April. So maybe they're going to wait. Maybe they are going to wait to see how this all plays out.
Well, when the Cruiserweight Classic was going on, they let people that signed their contracts to be on Raw, they let them fulfill all their signed indie dates they had.
True.
So it's not unheard of for WWE to say, okay, go and satisfy all your other dates. Then once those are over, don't book anymore. You're with us.
Yeah. Speaking of dream matches, we came, I don't know how close to getting one, but one was offered to the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. According to him on his appearance on the Sam Roberts podcast, AJ Styles was offered as an opponent for HBK for this year's WrestleMania. He says, quote, "I could have had that match. They did not have an opponent for AJ at WrestleMania. I wish that man were here 10 years ago, man. I really do. You think I'm cute? I know I'm cute. I got the girls. Girls wild."
So it's not happening. That's the point of all this. We're not going to get AJ versus HBK.
Yeah, AJ, so he could have done it. All he had to do was say yes. He looks amazing.
He looks like he's in great shape.
Here's the thing about this. this is not a legacy killer.
No.
It's not a legacy killer.
Win or lose, just, it'd been if it. Yeah. Well, the only way, no. See, the only way it might have been is if HBK came out and just laid an egg.
No, oh, yeah.
Had on a terrible
yeah,
match.
Yeah.
But it's HBK. I don't think he's going to go out there, and if he has any doubt that he can't put on a great match.
You have to admit, that takes massive amounts of discipline.
Oh, yeah.
Huge amounts of discipline to turn that down.
I'm sure there was a hefty payday associated with it, too. But it seems like both HBK and Stone Cold, when they said, I'm finally done, granted, Michaels retired twice. Once was because of injury. But when he retired the second time, both him and Austin said, done.
That's it.
I'll show up for appearances. Maybe I'll get physically involved somewhere, but no more matches. Yeah. Done.
Yeah.
And by all accounts from Stone Cold himself, he's perfectly healthy. He could come back and wrestle for another match.
Yeah.
Health isn't an issue for him. Same with Michaels, I think. They just both are satisfied with how their careers went and how it ended, and they just apparently feel no need to revisit it.
Well, look, man, nobody wanted to see Michael Jordan in a Wizards outfit. Nobody wanted to see Patrick Ewing in a Seattle Supersonics. Was it? See, it was Seattle,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody wants.
I think
to
he played
see
in
that.
Orlando for a little bit too.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah. Makes sense. Doesn't he?
He used to be an assistant coach in Orlando. Coach, I don't know if he still is though. Yeah.
So it does look like somebody over there at WWE is paying attention to us because according to an interview with Bray Wyatt for SportsIllustrated.com,
Extra Mustard this week, Bray had the following to say about his brother, Bo Dallas. I interrupted you.
Bo Dallas is quite possibly the most talented wrestler on any of the roster. He is the most underrated superstar of all time, in my opinion. He has so much to give. At some point, I would love to form an alliance with him because I know who and what he really is. Whether people want to look him like that, well, I'll show you. It's very, very possible. Baby Extra Mustard.
So it was maybe a couple years ago or so.
I hope y'all understood everything I just said.
That Bray did another interview where he seemed hesitant to work with his family in a wrestling capacity, that being Bo and his sister, who I believe is also a wrestler, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently he's had a change of heart. Which I think is a great idea. Imagine if
best idea.
Bo Dallas comes out of WrestleMania and helps his brother retain the WWE title.
Ooh, man. That'd be great. That'd be so fucking cool.
Like Randy Orton gets Eric Rowan and Luke Harper on his side.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's got it.
Yeah.
Done. Give me that belt.
Yeah.
Out comes Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas, brother win.
Maybe Bo Dallas gets in the way of an RKO. Could you imagine choreographing that shit?
Yep.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. God, I would love that. I would so love that. Because they could do, you know, Bray Wyatt is creative enough. They could do something so fun with breaking down the idea of character and what's real and what's fake and all that kind of stuff. They could do something so fun with that. And I love that he's talking so much, so good about his brother.
Yeah.
So complimentary here.
Yeah.
He has so much to give. I would love to form an alliance with him.
The most talented wrestler on either roster, he says. There's a lot of talented guys.
A lot of very talented WWE. Guys, yeah. Man, that would be so extra, dude. That'd be great. I would love it.
It'd be incredible. Incredible.
Incredible. Who would you want them first to feud with after they're done with Baby Orton?
I mean, I would love to see an AJ Wyatt feud.
Yeah.
Full-on feud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be my answer. How about you?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I'd just want them to build up Bo Wyatt.
Yeah.
To be like an equal to his brother.
I know, have them be a dominating
force. I really would love to see what kind of promo chops Bo Wyatt would have when he's in that character, when he's inhabiting that character and he's fully realized. I'd be really interested to see what, because he's really good doing the Bo Leave thing, but obviously that has a ceiling in terms of goofiness.
Yeah.
I would want to know
how he could do intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting. And how they would make him not just a Bray Wyatt copy, because you don't want like a clone.
Exactly.
It'd be really interesting. I don't know what they do. I would love for it to be a story of him going from the Bo Dallas character to going to becoming like a true Wyatt, like uncovering who he really is, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they could be really interesting with it. So
hopefully they'll do it.
Yeah, hopefully they do it. We have some. Oh, let's do this first. I've been sitting on these. Hey, there's two
packages.
Things down there. Oh, here we go. This is from Coda from Dallas. Howdy, friendos. Longtime fan here, dating back to y'all's 10 for the win days. And I've been watching Going In Raw for over a year now. Oh, by the way, you guys can send us shit. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California 95662. It's in the description below. And now wrestling has been my passion ever since I was 9 years old. And while I'm currently not able to watch the live weekly broadcasts, y'all's recaps and news bits keep me up to date and in the know. And for that, I'm thankful. To show my full appreciation for all the hard work y'all do for us, I've put together a little friendo care package of my own. Some autographs I collected over WrestleMania weekend last year, including the Texas Tornado himself. Autographs? Maybe that's just a picture. Kerry Von Erich is dead.
Yeah.
As well as a cover from Ringside Magazine signed by Sergeant Slaughter himself.
Cool.
There are also a few other little items in there, so I hope you enjoy. Keep up the great work and a big old too sweet. Too sweet. You almost put your head into the too sweet.
I know.
From the Lone Star State, Coda from Dallas. Open this thing up. Never give up, Larson.
Never give up.
Nice. Look at this. It's a framed signed John Cena picture.
John Cena.
John Cena. Oh, nice. Look at that.
What's that?
It's a CM Punk pendant.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. Look at my ass. Something else in here. Oh, my God. Look at this. Is this freaking Hall of Fame ring?
Oh, really? I want that.
You want a Hall of Fame ring?
Yeah.
Take it to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Having a hell of a time with that, huh? Look at this guy. I'm like Booker T now.
What is it?
Look at that.
Oh, man.
It's my Hall of Fame. I'm in the Hall of Fame now. There, you can have that.
That is a Hall of Fame ring. That's what it says. Hall of Fame 2015.
Wow. We got some assorted items here. We got, oh, look at that. Ted DiBiase.
That's cool.
$1 million bill. There's your $1 million right there.
Cool.
Best wishes, Von Erich.
Is it Kevin Von Erich?
Maybe it's Kevin. Von Erich, still number one. That was good. There's the Von Erich clan. Oh, look at this. DDP.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Bang.
Bang. It says bang. Sammy Callahan. Nice. That's right. What's this? Bull James. Bull Fit.
Yes.
Remember Bull Fit?
Bull Dempsey.
Bull Dempsey.
Zack Ryder.
Woo, woo, woo.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. Stuff. Oh, what's in there?
Ringside Magazine signed by Sergeant Slaughter. He said there was something in here that I would find, I would be tickled by. Is that? No.
David Lee Roth.
Video, like a rock video
with,
magazine.
With David Lee Roth and Cindy Lauper.
Oh, look there at the it man. Is. I'm the man. Magnum TA. That's fantastic. What a stud. Thank you, Coda.
Thank you so much. This is from Sweet and Sour Schneider. That's what it says on the label.
All right.
Here's the first thing in it, a Bailey headband.
Oh, nice. Look at that. Oh, look at that. It's like a little collage thing.
That's cool.
Oh, that's neat. Look at that. It's got Bailey. It's got Paige.
The Adventures of Bailey and Paige.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Look at that.
Here, let me check the tube and see if there's a note.
That's really neat. It's like a collage. For our set. That right there.
All right, there's a note in here. There's a note in here. I can't get it out.
So. No. All right. Is there anything else in there? Can you see in there?
I don't believe there is. I think that's it.
No note.
No note, but thank you very much.
But cool stuff. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
We're going to need more walls.
We're going to need more walls, exactly.
Hold on. I'm putting my Hall of Fame ring on. Boy, that's heavy.
It's good. Look at that. You look good, man. Looks good. Looks good on you. Low-level impact wrestling writer. Oh. Hey, friendos. Is WrestleMania going to have 2 to 3 street fight gimmick matches? Obviously, Seth/Triple H is probable, but Dean, Baron have been building a pretty brutal feud, and Shane is usually involved in matches like that.
Seems to be we'll have at least a couple no-hold-barred street fight,
mm-hmm.
false-count-anywhere type matches.
Well, the question is, disregarding people who already wear jeans, like Dean and possibly Baron Corbin.
Yes.
Are we going to have any other jeans?
Shane typically just wears like workout pants, so I'm imagining he'll stick to that.
The big question is Seth Rollins or Triple H going to wear jeans? Theirs is just a non-sanctioned
match. So they can still have a traditional wrestling match. This isn't sanctioned.
It's going to be on a barge.
Yes, in international waters. Will AJ, if it's a street fight, will he wear jeans?
If it's a street fight, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Absolutely, okay. Yeah. You have to wear jeans in a street fight. It's a stipulation.
Yes.
Damon Cruz. Do you guys have a fear that this year's WrestleMania can turn into WrestleMania 2000? That'd be cool, man. Go back in time.
How was that WrestleMania 2000?
Yeah, no, we go back in time. He's saying that we can go back, like, we'll go there and it becomes 2000, and then we go and place bets on the years of baseball and basketball teams we know are going to win.
Okay.
And then how much of an underdog was the Red Sox they won that year when they were down like 3-0?
Oh, a lot.
Or 3-1, whatever it was.
A lot. 3-0, yeah.
Put money on that.
Yeah.
Invest in Google and Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yes.
Apple.
Yes. Emperor Haas David Churchhouse.
No, I don't think it's going to be as bad as 2000.
No, it's not going to. Hey, friend, that was my question today. Popped in my head the other night while watching the Monday Night Wars on the network. It got me thinking, if you had the chance to make a film about the Attitude Era, who would you cast as Vince McMahon, Undertaker, Austin, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, and The Rock? I would cast The Rock as The Rock.
Of course. Absolutely. Mick Foley, I'd cast Jason Alexander.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels, I would cast Dolph Ziggler because he's an actor.
Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux, okay. All right. How about this? What if we cast this movie with The Rock?
Yeah.
But then everybody else has to be somebody from the American Psycho cast.
Oh, wow.
So Stephanie is Chloe Sevigny.
Okay. Well, she's not on this list. We just stick the people on this list.
Okay.
Vince.
Vince would, well, okay, who would Christian Bale be?
Triple H.
Okay, that's good, Triple H.
Willem Dafoe would be Vince McMahon.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, my God, that'd be good anyways.
I know.
That's really good. Who would, okay, you got Justin Theroux.
We need Jared Leto.
That's right, Jared
Leto. I suppose he could be Shawn Michaels.
Jared Leto, yeah, he'd be Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels. Who would be Undertaker?
Justin Theroux.
Okay, who would Austin be? Josh Lucas.
Yeah.
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 And then the dude who's also in Big Lewis. Who would be Lewis? Lewis would be Mick Foley.
Okay. Okay.
He's Albie on Big Love. That's good.
Good job.
Good job. Good job, everybody.
Good job.
Damon Jones. What about Paul Allen?
Paul Allen. Have you noticed NXT bluntly referencing Aleister Black and Cassius Ohno's indie names in their packaging?
Yeah, it's great, man, because they have acknowledged that these days they change names
when
they come in.
Yeah.
And I really like that they're doing it with at least some purpose storyline-wise, you know. So I'm fine with that. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Spectre Grimm, I've been watching a lot of YouTube clips lately of the past moments in WWE, and it got me to wondering about the best segments in WWE history, be they backstage, vignettes, promos, in-ring, or Titantron. I'd like to know, what are your top three segments? I like this. This is good. One of my favorite segments has to be the Raw locker room going on strike, leading to Triple H, CM Punk, Sheamus, and Cena prepare to do Raw all by themselves. I really like that.
When was that?
That was, let's see here. Punk was a face. Why were they going on strike? Everybody there was a face. It was really, really entertaining because the entire locker room went on strike. I'll have to look it up. But CM Punk, God, who's fighting? I guess Sheamus and Cena maybe were going to be fighting. Triple H was the ref and CM Punk was on commentary.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was fantastic because CM Punk was like, can I wear your jacket? And Triple H said, yeah, okay, here you go. And so we went and did commentary. And it was only for like, I think they did it for maybe like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then like the strike ended or whatever. That's I forget funny. What the reason was, but it was actually really entertaining.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Best segments, you have to go with the pipe bomb.
Yeah, speaking of CM Punk, the pipe bomb. That's like one of my favorites of all time.
Anything with Stone Cold and Kurt Angle.
Stone Cold swimming in a beer puddle.
Yeah, yeah. That'll never get old.
Yeah. Brian Pillman with a gun. Live sex show.
Okay, there you go.
Empire of Filth Women's Champion Nicole 9 Volt. Haven't been around because of my recent move to the Appalachians. Whoop, whoop. Anyways, whose entrances do you think are going to steal the show at WrestleMania because of their spectacle? She says she would have said Balor, but...
Randy Orton's going to ride in on a huge mechanical snake. Mark my words.
Bray Wyatt will be accompanied to the ring by Satan himself. It's going to be Bo Dallas in like a really bad, like a sexy Halloween costume. Like a one that's it's got like a woman on the cover, like all sexy, but it's Bo Dallas.
Okay.
And his butt cheeks are out.
Okay.
That's good.
It's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Who else will have a huge entrance?
Everybody's going to have a great entrance, man.
But like over-the-top spectacle. Wyatt, for sure. They're going to do something
That's going to be probably the biggest, I would think.
What about someone on par with Rusev riding in a tank?
I'm hoping Austin Aries is going to have a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
He's the greatest man. He should have the greatest entrance.
Have a double-level entrance.
A double-level entrance, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Dustin. Hey, friend. WWE has asked you to come up with some WrestleMania entrances. What are some of your ideas? Here, I got an idea to pitch you. Randy Orton rides in a huge mechanical snake.
Listen, Bo Dallas comes in as Satan, but they give him horse legs.
Wait, real horse legs?
They figure out CG. It's all CG. Everything.
Well, the people in the audience can't really see it. Then.
Everything should be CG.
What about this? You know those costumes, the horse costumes, where one person's at the front and the person's at the back?
Yes. Yeah.
How about that? You'd have Bo Dallas in the front. He'd be like a centaur.
Yeah. How about this?
So it's like top half Bo Dallas, legs, horse, and he has someone else be the back legs of the horse.
Or.
So it'd be centaur.
Or you have like somebody next to him with the clop, the pineapple clops. Clop, 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 clop.
So clop. Like Monty Python and the Holy
they
Grail.
They come in like this. Clop, 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 clop,
yes.
Clop, clop.
You say pineapple?
Coconuts.
Yes.
Coconuts.
Okay.
Yeah, coconuts. I get the two confused because I don't like either one, except unless... The coconut is part of German chocolate pie. I mean cake.
Cake, yes.
I love German chocolate.
Yeah, German chocolate cake's very good.
It is very good.
Do you want to answer some video questions?
Let's answer some video questions.
First one from Adam Fella.
Adam Fella.
Let's see what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos. Your Stardew Valley champion, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. I've noticed recently that WWE have been booking themselves like... the dying days of WCW. I mean, we have Goldberg as champion, the cruiserweight division, and a 3-hour long main show, you know, like Nitro was when WCW died out. So my question is, if you were to add one thing that WCW did back in the day to modern day WWE programming, what aspect would that be? Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
I like that he says that WWE is incorporating gimmicks from the dying days of WCW. Therefore, what would you like to see from WCW and WWE?
I guess the obvious answer would be pole matches, things on a pole.
Yeah.
They tended to do that a lot in the waning days of WCW.
Not mistaken, the Viagra on a pole match was Billy Kidman versus Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas was accompanied in the ring by Torrey Wilson. And I remember it was either Nitro or was that, I think it might have been that pay-per-view. Torrey Wilson's blouse was opened up so much in the V-neck that literally you could see part of her areola. I would bring areola exposure to WWE.
Okay, good
and
idea.
And Shane Douglas.
Good idea. Next question from CJ Reebley. Let's see what CJ has to say.
Hey, friend, it's CJ here. So, we all know that wrestling history's got some not good moments. And I'm not talking about the weird stuff that you guys have covered in a countout. But I'm talking like this, the really bad booking decisions. And it happens. I mean, not every promotion and not every booker is going to make the right call. Sometimes, you know, shit happens. My question is, what booking decision that really upset you personally? I'm not talking about like a... like the Booker T Triple H thing. Yeah, that was bad, but for example, me personally, when WCW unmasked luchadors like Rey Mysterio and Juventud, felt that was really kind of fucked up. I mean, that's it for luchadors. It's something you don't do. And the fact that they made those guys do that was, I thought, in really poor taste to me. That's just me personally. What do you guys think? Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ.
There's a lot of really bad booking decisions in the history of wrestling.
Yeah. I agree with him. Demasking luchadors and WCW was crap. I'm going to say, I'll say this. Turning Steve Austin heel.
Yes.
Although we got plenty of good entertainment, according to Dave Meltzer anyways, the revenue just started plummeting.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything just went in the shitter once that happened and never really recovered to its previous highs. So,
yeah, you can't really argue against that being the worst booking decision, I guess, then, since it costs the company money.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, Alexander...
Bring in Vince Russo to WCW.
And pretty much everything he did subsequently.
Mm-hmm.
Worst booking. Alexander Corrente.
For the Hall of Fame induction this year, I'm most excited for DDP's speech. This guy exudes charisma and is really well spoken. Who are you guys most excited to hear, and what is your all-time favorite Hall of Fame speech? For me, it was the Macho Man's by his brother. It hit a lot of personal chords with me, especially about the Special Olympics, and I thought it was just a really beautiful speech. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you.
Well, my favorite of all time is probably Scott Hall.
Yeah, that one's good.
Because you can't keep it. Good times don't go bad. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Good times don't last, but bad guys do. who are you looking forward to this year? DDP.
Yes.
I learned to read when I was 35.
Kurt Angle will be really good, too.
That'll be great.
But yeah, probably DDP.
DDP. Jordan Carter has a video question. Let's see what Jordan has to say.
Hey, friendos. So with Shibata winning the New Japan Cup, and calling out Okada at Genesis, do we think that Okada will lose to Shibata only for Kenny Omega to take the title off of Shibata and set up a rematch between Okada and Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12? Or do we think we'll see a rematch for the title before then? Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. I would really hesitate to think they're going to make Shibata a transitional heavyweight champion. I don't know their New Japan's history of transitional champions, if they're a thing.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. I don't know
what goals they have long term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it would make sense for Omega to have the belt when they come to the States in July. But I don't necessarily know if that's the plan.
Here's my thing, though. It would seem to be conventional wisdom that Omega's going to carry that belt. But, on the other hand, if New Japan senses that WWE is trying to encroach on their global invasion, they probably know with how much hesitation or thought Kenny Omega had in deciding between the two. If he's only signed a one-year deal, I could totally see them not having the belt on him.
I thought that too.
At all.
Yeah.
Because why are they going to give a higher profile to a guy that they're probably reasonably sure is going to be out the door a year from now? Also, why would they double dip? They have the heavyweight champion. I'll put it this way. They don't need Omega to have the heavyweight championship for him to be a main face for their company. John Cena doesn't have the heavyweight championship right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's their mainstream guy.
But there's a flip side to your first point. If Omega wasn't at least, and granted, maybe, you know, based on the few interviews I've heard and read with him, he's not necessarily a mark for holding the belts. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, he said also that there's things he still wants to accomplish in New Japan. I'm assuming that entails winning the heavyweight title. And so if he's going to re-sign for a year when he could just as easily have gone to WWE, I'm not saying I doubt New Japan would say, okay, we'll put the belt on you for a while.
Right.
But there's got to be some assurances that he will be kept at the top of the card on a consistent basis.
You think?
Or at least for him to come back.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, we weren't privy to the negotiations, so we don't know exactly what happened. We don't know what kind of terms they have.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I mean, I doubt they lack the confidence to think, you know, well, we're going to lose this guy for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure they understand they're in the running to keep him. But I think my second point actually might be more valid than the first one in that.
Yeah, he doesn't need a belt to be a top-tier guy. No, I know.
Okada, for example. If he didn't have a belt, like if he's the heavyweight champion, you don't need him to speak the language necessarily. To translate, it's like, oh man, look at this guy. He's got the belt. He looks like a championship. I'm going to pay attention to him, as opposed to you're double dipping with Kenny Omega.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, or Shibata for that matter. Put the belt on him. He looks like a stud.
Yeah, but yeah,
I don't see him winning it now, though.
No, I don't. But if
then,
he,
but then, but what do
he,
I know?
But if he does, then I wouldn't be surprised if it was to set up a match with Kenny.
Really? You think? I have no idea if they do transitionals.
I don't either. I have no idea either.
Yeah.
But if they want to save Kenny Okada 2 for Wrestle Kingdom next year.
Yeah.
And have Kenny go in as champ, and maybe if he's going to leave, he'll lose it.
He'll lose it.
Or
then,
if
yeah.
it seems like he might stay, he'll retain like Okada did this year.
Yeah. Right? It's possible.
So yeah. I can see why they want to save that match, that rematch, for either Dominion or Wrestle Kingdom. They're two largest shows of the year. Totally understand that. And I can understand the logic of putting the belt on Kenny when they come over here. I can understand, as you said, the logic of not feeling need to double dip.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can totally get all that.
Let's see here. Shortest reigning.
All right, I'll ask the next question while you're looking at that. Next question is from Adam Mayhem, Robert Alomar. See what Robert has to say.
Hey, friendos. Adam Mayhem here, reminding you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw for your merchandise. 5 great designs, but you cannot get this one. This one is only for the OGs. But anyway, Steven Larson, there's a question in my head going on after this Tuesday SmackDown, and is this. Do you guys think that the fact that the tag team titles are not as prominent in the whole SmackDown lore because they basically dropped the ball by giving the tag titles to Slater and Rhino in the beginning? I think the fact that it wasn't given to a actual tag team hurt the titles in the end, because first it was them and then it was the Wyatt family, which wasn't really, so it kind of never gave it that aura of, okay, this are legit championship. Do you guys think that that's the case, or do you guys think that it's just because it's not getting enough TV time? All right, guys, take it easy. Botch too sweet to Steve, and a hearty, hearty handshake to Larson. Peace.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
What did you find out? Still looking?
I'm still looking right
Look
now.
Look at just the title history. Yeah, I'll tell you how long they had it.
So, I'll put it this way. I don't necessarily agree with the... I don't necessarily disagree with the premise that having the inaugural SmackDown tag team titles on a non-traditional tag team hurts the division off the bat. I think they dropped the ball with Rhino and Slater as soon as they put the titles on them.
Their story was the quest.
Yeah.
Essentially to get hired.
And once
Slater got hired, then they seemingly had nothing else for him.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't know how to continue that story, so it was still captivating or entertaining.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to look recently here.
Okay.
You go ahead and read the next video question.
So, no, I don't think they dropped the ball with putting the belts on, period.
So Naito held it in between Okada reigns,
yeah, pretty
for 70 days.
Yeah, he didn't have it very long.
2010, Kojima had it for 85 days.
And who did he lose it to?
Not a lot of people have had it for more than a year, though.
Yeah.
Tanahashi. He lost it to Tanahashi.
Okay. And who had it before Kojima?
Makabe.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, there's been a couple short. I mean, 2009, there was a 45-day reign, Nakanishi, and then Tanahashi after that for 58 days, then it went to Shinsuke. So I guess they're not... They have transitional champions as well. So, yeah, could be.
Could be.
Next video question.
From Carlos Hackworth.
Hey, what's going on, friendos? My question for you guys, who are the top 10 superstars you think deserve a title run? I know it's been a few guys and not really necessarily have their push like there should, but yeah, I just want to get your thoughts, you know. I know some of them may be roughly new to the company, like Cedric Alexander and all that good stuff. So I just want to get your thoughts on who are the top 10 superstars that deserve a title run. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Who should have some title runs at WWE? Didn't we do a video about that?
I think we, yeah.
Well, we did a video on who should win a title this year, like their
this
first
year,
belt.
Yeah.
Name someone, just anyone, that's kind of
not in the title picture.
Should or will get a title run with the world title at some point this year.
World title or universal title?
Yes, or just any world title, any promotion.
Any world title, Shibata.
Okay, you think Shibata's going to get the world title this year? After just saying you don't think he's going to.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of WWE. Well, you've said for a while, Ty Dillinger, you think he's going to get...
The NXT title, yeah.
The NXT title. I'm trying to think of somebody new. I see your point about Eric Young, but man, Sanity's so good.
Exactly, and I think that's they're going to get brought up before he has a chance to win the NXT title.
Maybe. Possibly.
Because I can see, Rude's going to have it for a little bit, especially if they want NXT to be a third brand, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think... Ono is ahead of him in line, and so is Ty Dillinger.
I'd be surprised if Jack Gallagher never got that Cruiserweight title.
Mm-hmm.
He has not had it. That's correct.
No, he has not.
Yeah. So there you go.
Sami Zayn.
There you go. Yeah, Sami Zayn. Perfect. Patrick Sparks.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So the year is 1993, and Vince McMahon has just been taken to court for allegedly giving steroids to his competitors. This almost took him down. Almost took his business down. Almost put him in jail. And I recall a video a couple weeks ago, you guys said that Jerry Jarrett was in talks to take over the company for Vince if this were to happen. And it made me think that a WWE under Jerry Jarrett would be fucking weird, first of all. Probably wouldn't be around anymore, in my opinion. Maybe. But that also got me thinking, this concussion lawsuit that Vince is in, it's a little aggressive. Do you think it could ever get to the point of this steroid scandal? I don't, but say it did. Say Vince went to jail, or the WWE took a real big blow. What do you think would happen? You think Vince would just finally give up? Be like, fuck this, I'm done. Hunter, take over. Do you think? Or do you think he'd... try and, run it from jail. Like some gang movie. That'd be hilarious. He'd be booking. Roman Reigns still goes over. That'd be great. What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Patrick. No, the concussion lawsuit.
It's a civil suit.
It's a civil suit. Nobody can land in prison from a civil suit.
No, but Vince could be out a lot of money if he were to lose.
Wrongful death are a lot. Those are civil suits.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't go to prison for that.
No.
You just owe a lot of money.
Yes.
So, but if he did go to prison, it's a different situation now because Stephanie and Triple H kind of co-run the company.
Yeah, they would take over full time.
So they would take over full time.
It wouldn't be a situation where you had to go after Jerry Jarrett to take over for him if you were going to go to jail back in the steroid trial days, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, Triple H and Steph, I'm sure are ready.
Oh, that's a shame. You're going to prison.
Step right in.
What a bummer, Dad. You know, I find it funny that they sent you to prison.
For a civil suit.
For a civil suit. Yeah, you get into the ring, you get to hit your head, you got to figure some bad things are going to happen, you know? I find it funny that they would sue over that, Dad. Man, we got to figure out a way how to get on the press calls.
Oh, for NXT?
Yeah, because they had NXT press calls. And apparently he had a really heartfelt thing for JR.
Oh, yeah.
Because of his wife, which is
yes.
Unimaginably I know. Sad. I just couldn't even think about that. But I would love to be on that, see how many times per call he says, I find it funny that people say Ty Dillinger can't close the deal. You said that, Triple H. I find it funny that people say what I say all the time. Jason the Cabbie is finishing off our video question extravaganza. Let's see what Jason has to say.
Howdy do, Steve Larson, friendos everywhere, Empire of Filth Ambassador Jason the Cabbie here. We're going to keep it short and sweet this week because I am fucking exhausted. Now, NXT has a bit of a tradition of bringing in returning or veteran superstars to have one-off matches. We've seen it with Mickey James and Asuka, Rhino and Samoa Joe, and I'm sure others that I can't think of right now. So who would you like to see not just make a return, but have a one-off match with a current NXT superstar? Much love, everybody. Two filthies, whether you're down with the Empire or not.
Thank you, Jason the Cabbie.
Look at him in his cab. waiting to stab somebody. Turns off. It turns off his little light thing. This thing that says off duty.
Lita, that's my answer.
Somebody comes up and says, "Hey, can I get a ride?" He's like, "Yeah, one last ride for you."
Lita, vying for the NXT Women's title.
They're saying she might come out at the SmackDown thing.
Oh, really?
She had that independent show recently.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
to shake off some cobwebs.
Lita,
veteran for a one-off match. I love Lita. Hold on, give me a second. I find it funny that Drew Galloway isn't still in the WWE because he's really good.
You kind of slip into Scott Hall towards the end of your sentence.
He's really
there.
Good.
A little bit.
I find it funny that he's not. Now I'm going way too deep. All right, anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. I find it funny that Dirt Sheet's not on anymore.
All right, come on. All right, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Talk to you later, Dad.